Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Just because I know we just did it, can we give another hand to the worship team? Because that was amazing. Absolutely loved it. It was awesome. This week's Torah portion is entitled Vayera, meaning "and he appeared." It covers Genesis chapters 18 to 22. In addition to the Lord informing Abraham of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, this parasha also contains the promise of a child to the great patriarch and his barren wife, Sarah, and God's great test of faith, the request for Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Chapter 18 opens with Abraham resting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day when suddenly three men appear. Showing great hospitality to the men, Abraham asks them not to pass by, but instead to come and relax with him, wash their feet, and have a bite to eat. Now, 99-year-old Abraham at this time did not just gingerly stroll up to the men as they came up. It says he hurried, he ran to them. This show of generosity and kindness to strangers is a beautiful example of how we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, and how we should strive to serve the Lord without hesitation or reservation, to run to him. Now, it becomes very obvious during this meeting that Abraham understands who is standing before him. The Lord himself informs Abraham that his wife would soon bear a child the following year, and he will name him Isaac, meaning laughter, since Sarah laughed at the thought of having a child so far in years. As Abraham's guests turned towards Sodom, he walked with them a ways. The Lord then revealed to Abraham his plan to destroy the city for its wickedness, and thus begins one of the most popular and debated question and answer sessions of all time. Most of you know the story. Abraham's first request to the Lord is found in verse 23 when he asks, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city?" The Lord responds and says, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Well, this probably got Abraham thinking that he may have given Sodom just a little too much credit for the number of righteous people in the city. He then asks about 45 righteous, then 40, then 30, then 20. And each time, the Lord accepts his request and states after each one that if he finds that number, he will not do it. This leads Abraham for his final appeal, stating, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" The Lord answers, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." Now, we'll be coming back to this point in just a minute. So keep a mental note and ask yourself one question. Did Abraham change God's mind about destroying everyone in Sodom? In chapter 19, we find the two angels that were with the Lord and Abraham arriving in Sodom. Lot, Abraham's nephew, sees them enter the city and extends hospitality to them. Suddenly, men from all parts of the city, young and old, surround the house and demand that Lot send out the two men that are in his home for their sexual desires. Lot begs the men not to do this wicked thing, and instead offers up his daughters in order to protect his guests. Now, though it was his responsibility to safeguard his two guests invited into the protection of his home, don't be misled to believe that offering up his daughters was necessarily a righteous move. The sad truth is that when Lot first parted ways with Abraham, he chose to live in Sodom because it was pleasing to his eyes. He had lived there for some time and had obviously grown very accustomed and okay with many of its practices. This is how many Christians live today, accustomed and okay with the ways of the world. We begin to embrace and make excuses why sin is so acceptable. We should all strive to be the righteous few, that 10, if you will, that Abraham requested. In verse 9, the men attempted to break into the house past Lot, but the angels intervened, saving Lot and striking the mob with blindness. They then instruct Lot to gather any person in the city that belongs to him and get out. The city was about to be destroyed. Lot went to certain family members, and they didn't take him seriously. They blew him off. They were happy where they were in their city of sin. He takes up his wife and his two daughters and leads them out of the city as quickly as he can. But the angels had warned them, saying, "Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." As the city began to be destroyed by the Lord with fire and brimstone, Lot's wife looked back and was instantly turned into a pillar of salt. This is where we backtrack a little bit. Now, our last discussion regarding how many righteous people it would take to save the city of Sodom, Abraham had offered up the nice round number of 10, after many others. 10, and God would spare them all. Obviously, from reading the Word of God, that did not happen, as only 3 walked out unscathed that day from Sodom. But was there ever a possibility of 10 walking out to save the city? Did Abraham's request ever have a chance to change God's mind about Sodom and Gomorrah? Did Abraham have the power to make God say, "Well, I guess you got me, they can all live"? The truth is, no, he didn't. Abraham made a humble request. God loved him for it and was delighted in his pure heart and his love for mankind. Just how he loves us and enjoys answering our prayers and hearing us pray for others. We are meant to pray. He asks us to. However, when we pray and ask God for something, we wait on him to answer according to his will, not ours. We cannot order or direct him to do anything. We cannot trick him or make him make something be. He had chosen for 3 to walk out of that city that morning prior to Abraham's request, and 3 were exactly what walked out. In chapter 20, Abraham and Sarah moved south to the city of Gerar. Abraham instructed his wife to pretend to be his sister, afraid of the unbelieving Philistine king Abimelech. Abimelech attempted to take Sarah as part of his harem, but the Lord warned him in a dream not to do such a thing. Abimelech gave Sarah back to Abraham along with gold, silver, and livestock. Briefly summarizing chapter 21, we have the casting out of Hagar and Ishmael due to a jealous Sarah with her new son Isaac. The Lord saves them both and promises to make them a great nation from Ishmael, since Abraham was his father. In chapter 22, God tests Abraham. The Lord tells him to take his only son, whom he loves, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Can you imagine that? Taking your son or your daughter. Imagine the conflict there that must have been going through him. But Abraham was faithful, very faithful. The next morning, Abraham gathers Isaac and places the wood of the offering on his son's back. After a while, Isaac questions his father about the offering. After all, the wood and the fire were there, but he saw no offering. His father replies, "God himself will provide the lamb." And that he did in more than any way that we could possibly imagine. Upon arriving, Abraham bound Isaac, placed him on the altar, and raised his knife to strike down his only son. At the last second, an angel of the Lord called out and stopped him from completing this action. Instead, God provided a ram caught in a thicket as a sacrifice. As believers, we understand that Isaac carrying the wood toward his own sacrifice to foreshadow the ultimate sacrifice that our Heavenly Father would give in our Lord Yeshua, as he carried the cross to be sacrificed on our behalf. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and whoever believes in him will have eternal life. We are so greatly blessed. And that is an awesome thought. An awesome thought. Whoever believes in him can live with him forever. for eternity, every day with the Lord. The Lord declared to Abraham, because you have done this and have not withheld your only son, I will surely bless you. And he did. In conclusion, I'll simply end with some questions for you all. When you are approached by the Lord, will you walk or run? Will you look down or fix your gaze upon him? Will you attempt to fool God in your everyday life, embracing the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah while claiming him? When you pray, will you be eager to accept his will versus your own? Can you do that? And when your faith is tested, will you follow through with his test or fall short? I pray blessings upon you all on this matter and ask that the Lord's will be done. Shabbat shalom.